I join Brother Sammy in welcoming you to our service this morning. It's always a highlight of our life to get to come back to Creekwood. I've known this congregation, at least the older members, since 1968, before many of you were ever even thought about coming into this world. We have a wonderful relationship with the Creekwood congregation, the former Sage Avenue Church, and the 18 years that we spent with this congregation on two different times, we look back and say that was one of the happiest times of our life. I know down in Orlando, Florida, there's a lot of excited kids. I'm sure that they've won a lot of awards, and they're ready to show those off and tell their families all about it. But I also know that there are some very exhausted adults, a very exhausted preacher and the youth minister. So be patient toward them as they try to recover from this week. It's been an enjoyable time for them, I'm sure, and so thankful that the Last the Leader and Leaderette program is continuing here in the Creekwood congregation. This morning I want to renew and refresh your memory on a sermon that I preached 11 years ago on this day from this pulpit. Same sermon, but I think it's so important for every generation to hear what I'm about to say this morning. I want to coin a phrase for you that you can carry with you the rest of your life, and I believe that it will help. As you know, in every sermon I preach, I have a sentence sermon. I'll tell you where it is, and it's the beginning of this lesson. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Remember that. The darkest day this world has ever known happened 1979 years ago in the city of Jerusalem, a place called Calvary in 33 A.D. Listen to the story as I read and just kindly give you the highlights of that story. Take them from Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 22. Pilate had a problem on his hands. The people wanted Barabbas instead of Jesus. They wanted Jesus crucified, and Barabbas, a notorious killer or robber or thief or a person that you would not want turned loose on the street. They wanted him freed and Jesus crucified. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. And then Pilate took a basin of water and washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. And then he answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then they released Barabbas, and they scourged and delivered Jesus to be crucified. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe upon him, a crown of thorns on his head, took a reed and smote him on his head. They mocked him, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear the cross. And he helped to get the cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And then the people sitting down and watched him, verse 36. And they set over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And then going on down to verse 45. Says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. From high noon until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Then about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then going on down to verse 50, Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. This, my friends, was the darkest day the world has ever known. The events were so terrible at the place of the skull that God had to turn his face against what was happening, against that, turned his back. The sun had never shined more brightly than it did on that day, and yet darkness covered the earth for 3 hours as Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We can never really feel the pain, the suffering, the hurt, and the rejection that Jesus felt hanging there on the cross, dying for us. If we should close the Bible at this point of our reading, we would say, what a great tragedy, what a shame, what a loss. The Son of God is dead. Satan has won the victory. But I'm here to tell you this morning, glory, hallelujah, the story doesn't end there. A brighter day was coming. It was a day of the resurrection that Jesus died, but the Sunday of the resurrection, he was resurrected on that Sunday morning. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Turn with me now, just a page over from you. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. The end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and you shall see him, as lo, I've told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Three things happened on the morning of the resurrection. Number one, fear was dispelled from them, verse 5 and 6. Number two, worship was compelled of those that saw Jesus, verses 9 through 17. And then they were impelled to tell others, verse 7 and verse number 10. See, the early disciples came to the tomb at the rising of the sun, and they found it empty. Life has never been the same for them, nor for us. Christ can turn sunsets into sunrises. At sunset, it seemed that the universe did not care what happened to Jesus, the Son of God. But at sunrise, the tomb could not hold his body. He was resurrected from the grave. At sunset, the cross was a horrible implement of execution. But at sunrise, it became a reverent and holy symbol of renewed worship, adoration, and inspiration. At sunset, the grave was sealed with an immovable rock, seemed to be conclusive evidence that death was the end of Jesus, the man from Nazareth. But at sunrise, all mankind was given a renewed hope of a life beyond the grave. The empty tomb of Jesus represents victory for every child of God, for every age of time, worlds without end. At sunrise, hope did much more abound. But at sunset, a Galilean rabbi was dead by the name of Christ. At sunrise, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1, verse 4. At sunset, the obscure disciples were timid and fearful and discouraged and frightened and disillusioned. But at sunrise, they were transformed. They were confident. They were courageous crusaders who went forth to defy kings and to proclaim Christ to the whole world. Resurrection Sunday was a day that changed the world forevermore. If you will only believe the resurrection of Jesus, it can turn every sunset in your life to a sunrise. He arose. He's not in the grave. He is risen. And after the resurrection, everything in the Bible took on new meaning. Everything that God had said was true about Jesus. And what appeared to be a defeat became the greatest victory the world has ever known. Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday. He was buried and stayed in that tomb all day on Saturday. But thanks be unto God, he was raised the next day, that Sunday morning. All of this happened on a Sunday morning, 1979 years ago. Now, with this background information, I want to look at 3 days in the life of Jesus. The Friday of the crucifixion when he died, Saturday when everything was totally silent, and then on Sunday of the resurrection. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It may be Saturday, but Sunday is coming. And when we fully recognize the impact of the resurrection of Jesus, we can say with the centurion of old, truly, this was the Son of God. So let's take a look at these 3 days in the life of Jesus. Just like in the life of Christ, there will be a Friday in all of our lives. All of us have had Fridays. Some of you are in a Friday today, a day of suffering, a day of difficulties. See, bad things do happen to good people. Rain comes on the just and the unjust, and so do the storms of life. Tragic things happen to all of us. And the very fact that we have life means that we're going to have to pass through the valleys on the Fridays of life. And the only way out of that is to not have difficulties, is not to have life itself. Job of old said, we're a few days and full of troubles. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Some persecution will befall us just because we are Christians. 2 Timothy 3:12, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Jesus said in Mark 4:17, affliction and persecution will arise for the word's sake. We will be persecuted because the truth of God will offend many people that are in error. We don't know really how strong we are. We really don't know how weak we are until we are tested. And it's the problems of life that proves the power of God in our life. Calm seas make no good sailors. A ship that sails all the time on the smooth seas does not know how weak or strong that vessel is. It's in times of storm that we prove the Word of God to be true. And we find our strength, and we find God's strength working in us. Fridays are real. It's not the figment of our imagination. The suffering hurts. It's discouraging. The scourging, the beating that they put upon Jesus hurt him. The thorns that pierced his head, they gave him a headache. They hurt. The denial of Peter hurt Jesus, cut him deeply. And the nails in his hands and feet hurt Jesus. The weights pulling on the spikes hurt Jesus. The hours that he hung on the cross were long and lonesome and painful hours. And he was hurting. These are events that happened to Jesus. And they were real events. And things that happen to you on the Fridays of your life, they hurt. They break your heart. Your hurt is real, just as it was with Jesus hanging on that cross. The cancer in your body is real. It hurts you. If your mate dies or divorces you, it hurts you. Your loneliness is real. Your heartache is real. Job's problems were real, and so are your problems real. It's Friday. They are real in your life. It's Friday. They're universal. As I see the mate crying over the spouse that has died, or a parent crying over a child that has passed away, or a parent or a child crying over their parents that have died, I recognize that this is as old as the first tear ever shed and as recent as the last heartache. This planet Earth has become a spinning globe of suffering and pain and turmoil and heartache ever since Adam and Eve were driven from the garden paradise of Eden and separated from the tree of life. These Fridays of life show no respect to persons. The events on Fridays come to the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Christianity does not immune us from suffering. It's not a life insurance or a hospital insurance or a tragedy insurance, but rather Christianity is a soul insurance that pays off in heaven. The events of Friday will make a different person out of every one of us. It will make us bitter or better. It'll make us sweeter or more sour. Suffering tends to beautify and to mold the Christian into the image of God. It weans us from the world and makes us yield to the touch of the Master's hand. And when you hurt, we feel the need for God. It is through suffering that we learn better how to overcome the lust of the flesh. Suffering helps us to set our priorities in order. Suffering makes us more sympathetic to other people. Tears washes our eyes that we may see things more clearly. Listen, sympathy is your pain in my heart. Sympathy is my pain in your heart. It makes us more sympathetic. The experiences of Fridays help us to pray, believing that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Suffering causes us to draw closer to God and to one another, brethren, and that's good. That's not bad. That's good. Suffering can serve as a refiner's fire, burning away the impurities that help to bring the best out in each of us. And my brothers and sisters, that also is good. That is good. As I think about my life and things that have brought about the change in my life, it were things that happened on the Fridays of my life. When I was suffering, when I knew that I needed extra strength and didn't have it, that caused me to walk that aisle and confess the sweet name of Jesus, baptized into His death to reach the precious shed blood of our Lord. We can learn a lot of things from life. We need to do as John of old, lean upon the breast of our Lord. The Fridays of our life are terrible. I know that many of you are in the Fridays of your life right now. But there's a day that is worse than Friday. You say, how in the world could a day be worse than the Fridays of my life? When I'm going through the heartache and the heartbreak and the disease and the hurt, how can they be worse than that? The worst day of your life are the events that happen on Saturday. As bad as Friday may seem, Saturday is much worse. It was a day in the life of Christ that nothing happened. Remember, He is in the grave. Nothing happened. No suffering, no affliction, no nothing. No word from God, no miracle, no power of God being shown. The Saturday is a day of waiting. And it's the hardest day of all. While you're going through the fire, there is a strength that takes hold of us. And it amazes us. Have you ever faced a problem and then come through that and say, well, I don't see how I've faced that and kept my sanity? You are drawing from an unknown and untapped source of strength. And when you're at the bleakest moment of your life, it seems like that's when you do the best in your life. But Saturday is different. Nothing is happening. You're in limbo, recovering maybe from an illness at a snail's pace. Maybe the death of a loved one. And you ask, will the hurt ever, ever go away? Look at the life of Jesus. That Saturday, nothing was happening. It seemed that God was idle. Nothing happened. Was God dead? Was He sleeping? Was He resting? No miracles, no word from God, nothing. What were the disciples of Jesus doing? Well, all but John fled. These men, now listen, these men were men of God. But they had feet of clay. Remember that. You may be a man or woman of God, but you've got feet of clay. And it's in that stalemate that they became stale. Nothing holding them back on that Saturday, but nothing moving them forward on that Saturday. John the Baptist faced the Saturday of his life in prison. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And John and Jesus told John's disciples, "You go back and tell John that that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the gospel preached to the poor. Blessed he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Matthew 11, verse 5. I love what Solomon of old wrote. Solomon had his Saturdays. In Proverbs 13, 12, listen to it. "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." In other words, the nothingness of Saturday can make your heart sick. I know that some of you are going through the Fridays of suffering. You've lost your loved ones. You're having sickness, things hard to bear. Others are in the Saturday of life when really nothing is actually happening. Nothing is pushing you forward. But listen to the latter part of what Solomon said. Proverbs 13:12. "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is the tree of life." We're not with the tree of life right now, but it's coming. When we pass through the Fridays and Saturdays and come to the day of our resurrection, we'll be in the midst of the tree of life again. It may be Friday or Saturday, but Sunday is coming. Sunday, the hope of the resurrection. What day did the apostles really emphasize in their preaching? Oh, yes, they emphasized the Fridays. They talked about the death of Jesus and his suffering and the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Certainly, that is the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel, and we preach about the death of Jesus. Saturday, really, no emphasis placed upon Saturday, only to help get us through the Saturdays of life. But the greatest emphasis of their preaching was on Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus, where he's declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Life is a continuous cycle. Sunday follows Saturday. Saturday follows Friday. As long as time shall last, it'll be like that. It'll be like that in our life. It may be Friday in your life, but Sunday is coming. Maybe Saturday in your life, but Sunday is coming. Why 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Well, it's hard to see an entire week or year, but we can look at 3 days. Listen to David as he wrote about hiding out in the cave of Adullam as Saul was pursuing him. In Psalm 27:14, "Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord." Isaiah 30:18, "Blessed are they that wait on him." Isaiah 49:23, "I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait on me." There are things in life that we cannot push. We cannot force. We cannot run ahead. We've got to just wait. Psalm 37:25, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently upon him." Christians should never be ashamed to say that they're waiting on God to work it out in their life. Rest in the Lord while waiting on the Lord. God allowed Jesus to bear the cross on Friday, endure the grave on Saturday, but Jesus came when he was resurrected. Here's my favorite verse in the Bible. If I had to single one out, here it is. I try to live my life by this verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Very seldom has God ever answered my prayer in the exact way that I requested, but has always given me more than I expected and a lot more than I ever dreamed possible. I've learned that I can rest and wait upon the Lord while enjoying peace as I commit my Fridays and Saturdays to the Lord. How did I learn that? I learned that by running ahead of God, trying to work things out on my own and falling flat on my face. If God can take the dead, lifeless body of his Son, raise him up on Resurrection Sunday, then he has the power to take care of any problem in the life of his child. Looking back at Peter's life, the thing that changed his life most drastically was not what happened on Friday or Saturday, but what happened on Sunday. So I come to the conclusion of this lesson. It may be a Friday in your life. It may be a Saturday in your life. I have a word for you from the Lord. Sunday is coming. The hurt will soon be over. The pain will cease, but in the meantime, the cycles of life will continue. There'll be Fridays, days of difficulties to bear, Saturdays, the waiting period in your life, but Sunday's coming. Wait on him, rest in him, hope with reality. Sunday is coming. One day in heaven, we'll say with all the saints of God, heaven was surely been worth it all. You see, Jesus walked 60 miles from Nazareth to Jordan to be baptized of John. It's a lot less space between here and the back of this building or the balcony. If you've never been baptized into Christ, won't you follow the steps of Jesus and come and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Then you'll have that hope. You can wait on God to work things out because you're in his will. Don't try to live life alone and handle all your problems by yourself. You can't do that. You can't do that. You don't have the strength to do that. If you're here today, and you are a child of God, you've been trying to run ahead and do things on your own, and you know that you've made a mess out of your life, why not come this morning? Rededicate yourself to the Lord. What greater gift could you give to yourself and your family to know that I'm right with God when I leave this building today, as together we stand, as we sing.